The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
The unmistakable score to Jurassic Park. I'm sure it will get some of you in the mood. You're planning maybe to go to the cinema tomorrow night to see Jurassic World Dominion. John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, has been to see it. John, should they be excited?
I'm sorry. I don't want to be this guy.
Was that a groan?
Coming in here. It was a small groan, I'm afraid, yeah. You know, we talked about the last time I was talking to you, Top Gun, Maverick, right?
I'm going tonight.
Oh, wonderful.
Going tonight.
Let's review that.
Yeah, and you know, my friend booked the seats, and you know, two of the seats, F15 and F16. We got way too excited about that, I have to say, in the WhatsApp group.
F16, wow. But when we were talking about the great summer blockbuster that is Top Gun Maverick, I'm sorry to quote myself back to you, it's a bit pretentious, but I think I said something along the lines of a blockbuster has to be somewhere on the scale of, you know, it's unbelievable and a bit daft, but it has to carry you the whole way.
Yes.
And that's what makes a great blockbuster. And Top Gun Maverick has that in spades. It's, you know, men flying, oh, and women as well, it has to be said, in this one, flying through the skies, doing bizarre aerial stunts, and it's a bit daft, but it's amazing, and you'll love it. Yes. Unfortunately, Jurassic Park doesn't have that, because Jurassic Park has unbelievability at its core, right? Dinosaurs coming back to life in this park, but it was brilliant. Do you remember the first one?
The first one was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And the first of the new ones I really liked as well.
Yeah.
You weren't mad about it.
I'm just not sure the point of well, it was money, I guess, but the new trilogy, which this one is meant to end. But the first one and the first few films were brilliant. And you had Steven Spielberg at the helm. And do you remember that scene, Laura Dern? It's like, oh my God, and the music and all.
Yeah.
She's
looking at a leaf. Sam Neill just turns her head,
yeah,
grabs off her head,
yeah,
and turns it towards the Brontosaurus or something.
And this is packed with those Easter eggs. Now, all these movies that appeal to people of our generation are packed with Easter eggs. Ghostbusters had it, Top Gun has it, but there has to
be Easter eggs for people who don't know what you mean.
Yes.
I mean, they're little references in a movie that other people might not get. They're throwbacks.
Big time. And so, like, sorry to go off tangent again, but you mentioned your cinema seats, but like at the moment, Obi-Wan Kenobi is going gangbusters. And it's going gangbusters because it's full of Easter eggs, again, for people of our generation who love Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
But the problem is, you also have to tell a story around those Easter eggs, and Top Gun Maverick did that. Obi-Wan Kenobi is doing that now, but Jurassic World Dominion hasn't, I'm afraid to say, because the plot here is kind of pointless and nearly even hard to remember. Like, I was trying to think before he came in here, what's it about again? Which isn't a great sign, right?
Yeah.
So roughly what it's about is Chris Pratt, and this takes place after the end of the last one, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, where it was going to be the dinosaurs and humans living peacefully together. Well, guess what, Kieran? That didn't work out so well. So you've Chris Pratt and Claire Dearing are kind of Jurassic Park employees who are now caring for Maisie Lockwood. She was this clone of one of the scientists.
Yes.
And she gets taken. Then Laura Dern and Sam Neill are back in frame, and later will be Jeff Goldblum, because they discover this weird brand of locusts. And it turns out that those locusts are being genetically modified on this island, which is also doing a side turn and weird dinosaurs as well. And they go to this island, and there's an evil scientist there, and they're going to have to overcome all this together. And even I'm kind of losing myself,
yeah,
a bit, because the plot doesn't make sense at all.
You see, the beauty of the plot in the first one is, like, it's very simple. It's just a chase movie.
Yeah.
It's actually just a chase movie. And the plot of the first of the new ones as well, and
yeah,
misgivings aside, it's kind of just that again. It's,
yeah,
people are lost. Like, it's a chase movie.
And it's funny you say that, because there are chases in this as well, with Chris Pratt on a motorbike trying to get back this girl. But then there's also all sorts of other things they're trying. And Sam Neill at one point is almost like they're trying to turn him into Indiana Jones. And at one point he gets his hat, and he pulls his hat back and says, I can't go anywhere without my hat. And they're clearly Easter egging a different movie, which is kind
that's kind of weird, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I thought so as well. But then there's the dinosaurs, which you would assume are the main attraction in a movie called Jurassic. I keep forgetting the name of it.
Jurassic World Dominion.
I was only there less than 24 hours ago. But the dinosaurs are just showing up randomly for no, like, concrete discernible reason. And there's this mad fight between two of them out of nowhere. It's like they're just dropped there. Now, that said, I went to this with my 9-year-old, soon to be 10-year-old, who like, enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, in a way, you know, I'm whistling in the wind here because this is going to make billions, like the last two as well, because the franchise is so adored. And it seems that no matter what you do and how bad the movie is, if you put Jurassic Park in the title, it's going to do a hell of a lot of numbers. And I think this will as well, because if you adore Jurassic Park in that kind of, you know, blockbustery way, you'll probably still get something out of this. I was middle of the ground about Jurassic Park. Maybe it came a bit too late for me to be one of those touchstones of my cinema going life, but I did love the first one all. But as someone who's, you know, so-so about them, it's really didn't.
But the first
together.
Trilogy got steadily worse as well.
Yes.
I don't really remember anything about the third movie, except much like, they actually quite mirror, don't they, the first trilogy, in that the third movie as well, Jurassic Park Lost or something?
Are you talking? We're going
movie
down a
three.
Rabbit hole. Movie 3 of the first series. I think that was just called Jurassic Park 3.
Jurassic Park 3. Yeah. Anyway, Jurassic Park 3 had dinosaurs in a city. The T-Rex was in a city.
Yes.
It had a dog. Didn't it?
Yes.
You're drinking out of a swimming pool and it had a dog.
But this goes,
that's all I can remember.
This goes to the heart of the Jurassic Park problem. The fact that they've made 6 and now lots of these stories are repeating themselves because it's kind of a one trope thing, like dinosaurs attacking humans or maybe dinosaurs becoming friendly with humans. There's only so many places you can go with this kind of thing. And too many of the ideas in this movie are half-baked. And I get no pleasure in saying any of this because I want people to go back to the cinemas, as I'm always saying to you, you know? But I would suggest go see Top Gun Maverick instead.
And if you want to see something with dinosaurs, have you watched the David Attenborough series on Apple TV?
I'm not going to lie. I never lied to you. I haven't, but I know that it's incredible.
Oh,
you know?
It looks absolutely amazing. It is incredible.
Or you could go see On Colleen Kewan. Have you heard about this fantastic
I have
Irish
heard
movie?
About it, but I have not seen it. Is that brilliant?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, it's about as far away from, you know, Jurassic Park as you can get.
Are there at least F-16s in it?
One or two towards the end, you know? You know, what bothered me about this, as I've been at pains to point out, is that the Easter eggdom, and my apologies to people who are confused by that, but you've explained it well, but they were relying on that more than anything. And the scene they most Easter egg is that she takes off her sunglasses and goes, oh my God, like in the first one. But at this time, she's looking at an empty cornfield.
Right.
Because the locusts are about to do some damage. So they're not equatable at all. So the more I discuss this with you, it's kind of a mess for all those reasons, you know?
Yeah. That doesn't really fill me with awe and wonder, an empty cornfield.
Which is what it's meant to
do. I mean, we have them all over this country after August, you know?
Well said. So, you know, now that said, Sam Neill, it was nice to see him back with Laura Dern and Jeff. And look, Jeff Goldblum, who's now, which kind of didn't make any sense. He's now a professor in this island that he seems to know is corrupt, but is still there for some reason.
Right.
And then decides to take it down, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. That said,
did his character ever make sense? He was kind of a rock and roll mathematician.
Yes.
It never made sense.
And he's back doing that. So that's one of the good things on him. And you see him first and he's on a lecture hall going, well, you know. And
I get the feeling they were just like, they wanted this mathematician. And they also wanted Jeff Goldblum, and then they realized, Jeff, you just play yourself. We will still, you'll still be the mathematician, but you just play Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, and he's great in that. And students are coming up to him afterwards, and he's doing his dance, and he is playing Jeff Goldblum, and he purrs like a cat. So that's great and all. And Sam Neill is still Sam Neill, and Laura Dern is still moving, but it's kind of just a pointless vehicle.
All right. Okay, that is damning indictment.
Yeah,
it started with a groan, it ended with
a
Jurassic Park is a pointless vehicle. Lads, it's called suspension of disbelief. Lighten up, says John Moylan in Athrite. But we are well able to suspend
absolutely
our disbelief.
But there's a point.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Top Gun, you'll have to do that tonight, but you'll get by.
Even we have a price, John Moylan in Athrite. John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time. Pleasure as always. We'll get the news headlines. Here's Quishock.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.